Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
My name's Sam, and it's such an honor and a privilege to be speaking today. I just want to welcome everybody in the 10:30 service. Come on, just welcome the 10:30 crowd. It's going to be such a good day to be in church today. And I want you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 15 and Colossians chapter 3. And we're in a summer series right now, and I've been really feeling God speak to me very specifically about particular subjects. One particular subject that I'm going to be preaching about today. And to put it plainly, what I really feel is to ramp up the level of holiness in our congregation. That is there anybody here in the place that's believing for breakthrough? Is there anybody here in the place that's believing for next level? Is there anybody? This is the 9 a.m. service, and I don't think people are really believing for breakthrough right now. So is there anybody at the 10:30 service that's believing for breakthrough? Come on. All right. So in the 9 a.m., let's try that again. Is there anybody believing for breakthrough? All right. You want to go to another level. And sometimes God doesn't allow us to click in to the new level until we deal with some things that we need dealt with, or that, more importantly, He needs dealt with, in order to be able to steward the new level that He is calling us to. He does this because He loves us. He does this because He protects us. And He doesn't want us experiencing something or going through something that we don't have to, or we don't have the capacity to, or we don't have the character to, because He loves us too much to let us fall, fail, or be taken out. Can I hear somebody say amen? Amen. Amen. And so words that you can put around this is reverence, revering God, holy fear, godly fear, to know that not everything in our lives is okay, and that we can say we're okay when there are different secret spots in our life that are actually not okay. And so what I want to do today is open up an environment, an opportunity where the Holy Spirit breathes in this room and speaks gently and shows us potentially some areas in our life that He would like us to take care of. Or more importantly, that He would like us to put in His hands so that He can take care of. Somebody, all right, let's pray. Father God, I thank You that Your Spirit is in this house. I thank You, Jesus, that You speak to us so lovingly, so directly, that Your word pierces through all the confusion and goes right to the very corners, the darker areas, those secret spots, not to deliver condemnation, not to deliver shame, but to deliver us so that we may live a more full life, a more free life, a more godly life, and to be able to step into the level and the potential that You have for us. And if somebody is excited to embrace the will of God here this morning, I need to hear a big, loud amen. 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 Praise God. All right. So Luke chapter 15, there's a parable, and the title of the message today is It's Time to Clean House. Turn to the person next to you and say, It's time to clean house. It's time to clean house. Love a good old spring cleaning. It's past spring. All right, so it might be a little overdue, but Luke 15, there's this parable of the parable of the lost coin. Let's read it. So suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one, just a little coin, loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp and sweep the house? Somebody say clean house. Doesn't she sweep the house and search carefully until she finds what was lost? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost thing." My lost area. That your life is God's. Every area of your life is God's. You are His And he has value and ownership over every area of your and my life. Every area. He has value and places value and ownership over your mind, over your heart, over your potential, over your actions, over your body, over your future. We are his. So when he says this is a coin lost in the house, that there is potential that Christians and people inside the house of God can find themselves lost or can find a part of themselves, maybe a 10th, maybe a 30th, maybe a 40th, maybe a 100th. It doesn't matter to God that a part of us gets lost, that can get covered in dirt, that can get covered in shame, that he wants to light a lamp, search the house, search our life, and restore what was lost. Not to get rid of it. We don't get rid of lost potential. We restore it to its original form. Somebody say amen. Amen. So rejoice with me. I have found my lost coin, my lost area of value, my lost corner of my life, this lost area. In the same way I tell you, verse 10, there is rejoicing. Somebody say rejoicing. Rejoicing. The Bible also says that when repentance happens, there is singing in heaven. Singing in heaven. That as we turn to God and we come to him and submit our lives to him in every area of our lives, that heaven sings. Isn't that awesome? Rejoice with me. In the same way, there is rejoicing in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents. And so here's the thing. You are created by God. You and I are created by God with original intent. And every area of your life, we serve God with our whole heart, our whole mind, our whole soul. And every area of our life has an intent by the divine creator. Every area. Your mind, your thoughts, your identity, your sex life, your decision making, your habits, your values, every inch, every corner has a divine orchestrated intent from the Creator, from heaven. And sometimes a piece of us, an area of us, can feel or get misplaced. Somebody say misplaced. It's time to clean house. So we turn the light on and we clean house. And things naturally get dirty in this world. Things do. This world is not designed now after the fall for growth. If you leave something, weeds grow and decay grows. And there's parables in the Bible about things that choke the word of God, that these weeds grow in our lives. And things do get dirty if we don't pay attention to it, if we don't clean it. I know for me, when I was a single guy living in a house full of single guys, that our particular one room of the house was a very neglected house. We never really cleaned that room. It was the bathroom. How many people hate cleaning the bathroom? The shower in particular. Like what? I mean, you know, that's where you wash off dirt. How does it stay? Anyway, whatever. But sometimes we procrastinate and we make up reasons or justification as to why this area exists. You know, I'm too busy. Like life gets too busy, so we don't clean house. So we didn't clean the bathroom. You know, we're just guys. We don't really care. It's not my job. Like we push the blame on some of these areas and takes a little bit of ownership, but sometimes it takes a fresh pair of eyes. I started dating Jess. Jess comes as a fresh pair of eyes and she doesn't want to use our bathroom. Like she's like knocking on the next door neighbor's house and saying, you know, do you mind if I use, no, she wasn't. But she comes to me and says, Sam, do you realize that there are 3 mushrooms growing under the counter in the bathroom? No joke. 3 little mushrooms that we named them athlete's foot. Like it was disgusting. Fungus was growing. And sometimes it takes the Holy Spirit's fresh pair of eyes to come into our life and to say, do you realize that there is decay growing in this area of our lives? And when that light gets lit, we then have a chance to deal with. We didn't deal with the mushrooms right away. You know, for a while there, it was something that we celebrated. But then we eventually dealt with them. All right. So we are called to be set apart. We're called to be consecrated by God. And When Jesus cleans the disciples' feet, he says, this is what I do to my disciples. He does this to Christians. We always use the cleaning of the feet to be a way that we're meant to serve other people and serve the city. And that's true. But Jesus says that what he does is he cleans the church. He cleans the house. And he says, Peter says, well, listen, don't clean me. You know, I'm not worthy. Whatever, let me clean you. And he's like, no, that's not your job. I'm perfect. It's my job to clean your feet. And then Peter's like, well, clean my whole life. Clean my whole body. And Jesus is like, hang on a second. Your whole body doesn't need to be clean. You were already made clean. It's just the part of your body that touches this world that picks up dirt when you walk through life. And sometimes when we walk through life, there is a part of our lives that picks up dirt along the way. And Jesus says, I come to clean your feet. I'm not going to clean your whole life. I've already done that when I died on the cross. But when you're walking this life, when you're walking among this world, and when you're walking among the air of this world, sometimes we pick up things that Jesus needs to come and serve and clean that area of our life. Somebody say amen. Come on. Good. Awesome. So I believe what's happening in our church on a more corporate level, what I believe in our church is that we are going to a new level. We're going to a fresh level as a church. I have specifically heard God on many, oh my gosh, I've specifically heard God on many occasions that there is an open heaven coming. And I believe it's going to happen around the fall. I believe that if we do our job to obey God's word, that there is an open heaven as North Campus launches. Come on, get to that interest meeting. Come on. The interest meeting is basically in the Garden of Eden. Like this community center is like, it's in this massive parkland and you want to get there. So just get there, all right? Next Sunday. Somebody say next Sunday. All right, but before that, we're going to clean house. Somebody say clean house. So I believe that what God has said, but God has specifically said, Sam, if you're going to be a good pastor, if you're going to be a good shepherd, I need you first to take inventory of your life. I need you to own what it means to fear me and to follow me. I need you to look at every area of your mind and I'll help you search it. And I'll lovingly bring those areas back. I'll lovingly bring those areas of potential back. And then once, as we're going through that process, he spoke to me clearly and said, Sam, take the church through that process. Make sure that we clean house. Because when the open heaven comes, visitors are flooding in. And God doesn't tolerate everything we're okay with. And that's the truth. All right. So we're in Christ. So Colossians chapter 3. I've just been diving into the book of Colossians lately. I highly recommend you get into Colossians. But Colossians chapter 3 says this. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. And this is what we do with baptisms. On August 11th or something like that, some date in August, we're doing baptisms, stoop baptisms outside. Sign up if you want to get baptized. We've been raised with Christ. Set your hearts. The key word there is set. It's a decision we make because our hearts can be misplaced, can get unset. Set our hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Then it says, set your minds. So it says, set our hearts and set our minds. Set our minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, FYI. You did die. You were born again. And your life is now hidden with Christ. There is a lost coin hidden with Christ. But the problem is it's just covered in a bunch of stuff. So there is lost potential, lost value hidden in Christ, in God. Sometimes we wonder why marriage isn't working because there is a part of us that is hidden in Jesus that we are yet to discover, that we're yet to let him redeem. And sometimes we wonder why different dysfunction is happening in our lives and God is saying because it's lost in the house. It's dysfunctional because it's covered in straw. It's covered in yesterday. It's covered in old wineskins. It's covered, I don't care how you want to put it. It's covered in something that's not godly. And instead of, and so hidden in Christ, get this, verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. When Christ appears, the lost places in our life appear. So point one, don't worry about getting far from sin. Just get close to Christ. Come on, somebody. Don't worry about getting far from sin, 10:30. Come on, don't worry about getting far from sin. We don't need to deal with sin. We need to get to Christ. That's what we do. When we get to Christ, He illuminates all our world, and then dealing with sin just gets dealt with as proximity to Him. Because when we're close to Him, we desire Him, we fear Him, we want to please Him, and therefore what isn't of Him, what isn't of our, what's not meant to be in our lives, it's like a splinter in our hand. We have to get it out because it's foreign. It's not who we are anymore. We were dead to that. That's not our identity. Why is this thing here? I will be uncomfortable with it. I'll wrestle with it. I want it gone. And how do? And the deal is we don't know unless we're close to Christ. We don't know what is foreign. We don't know what is old and what is new. We don't know what we're used to be or what our old life was or what our new life is meant to be unless we get close to Him. And I believe that this happens in worship. Kenzie is one of the best puzzlers, like my three-year-old, which is my three-year-old turning three soon. She is amazing at doing puzzles. So I'll sit with her and I'll do a puzzle with her, and she'll get the piece, and the piece only fits one way, and she'll look up at me and she'll be like, "Daddy," "this way," and then it's not fitting. And I'll be like, the picture's not making sense. And I'm like, no. Look at the picture. Look at the box. And then she turns it this way. And she's looking at me to just kind of like tell her the right way it's meant to go. And I'm trying to teach her, look at the box. Baby, see where I'm going with this? You'll know how it fits when you look at its intended created design. If you look at the picture, if you look at the box. And so when we go to worship, and not just worship in church, people, worship in your house, pray in your home, go to God because you, and go to Him. And when you worship, the thing that we were doing on Wednesday, that when we're worshiping on Thursday morning, He shows us His image. He shows us, and therefore by default, when He appears, we appear. And the life of us appears and because we see His image, which is now the blueprint of Him on us, we see us, our new creation, our new form, who we are meant to be. And then we realize, man, this thing in my heart is not of God. It's not the fit. It's not the way it's molded. It's not the way it's meant to be. And I deal with it. I change it until it fits. This thing in my mind, this thing in my area. I'm not here to give, our church will not give you a list of rules of do's and don'ts. That is religion. That is not God's intent. That's the law. But when it comes to grace, the only way we get grace is by getting close to the Creator, by getting close to the picture, by getting close to God. Somebody give God some praise. So don't deal with sin. Don't try and distance yourself from sin by itself. Sin doesn't occupy the place of Jesus. So sin is here and Jesus is here and Jesus has no sin. There is no sin in Jesus. So by default, when you walk close to Jesus, what are you by default doing? You're walking away from darkness. There is no darkness in light. And light lives in you. And when that light is on, the house is lit. And we restore value in those areas of our lives that have been misplaced from God's original intent and His original design. I'm preaching to you. Come on. So worship makes things clearer. And we ask, and God says, this is the right fit of how you were to think about yourself. These are the God thoughts, the good thoughts. And he starts to speak to us. This is who you are. Because some of us, we self-deprecate. We beat ourselves up. We have misplaced identity. We have these lost coins of identity. And we start beating down on ourselves. And God's like, no. Encourage yourself. Think good about yourself. Those thoughts are not in the puzzle of your new identity. And so get rid of those thoughts. And when you start to encourage yourself, instead of when we self-deprecate, we can't treat people the way God wants us to treat people. God says, love your neighbor as yourself. And so when we love ourselves and we encourage ourselves and we're like, right, that thought's not of God, I take it captive. And then we then start by default encouraging one another. We just become this better person because the coin of value of our identity is restored in the house. And we stop thinking these stupid thoughts and these sinful thoughts about what God's not saying over us. And we start to think about what he is saying over us. And then we start to honor other people and start to speak how God wants to speak over them. Sin is missing the mark. I'm not necessarily just talking about doing drugs. I'm talking about sinful, missing the mark thoughts that we are owning that we should be shunning. Somebody say clean house. We got a clean house of some of those thoughts. How, you know, this is the right fit for how to advance our career. Not cheating, not backbiting, not when someone else loses, I win. No. We're Christians. Our career status and our value in the community is not related to someone else's failure. That when we go into our workplace and instead of diminishing co-workers, we elevate other people, we support and we do what we're meant to do by serving other people. This is the right fit for us. And instead of me running the rat race and taking down other people, we're elevating God. Let God be your promoter. Your boss is not your promoter. And when we look upon that image, he celebrates us, lifts us up, and your career is taken care of. We can't miss the mark in that. How to be the right fit around our home, how we treat our spouse, how we treat our parents, how we raise our kids, setting the right tones and temperatures in our home. God speaks to me constantly about how I miss the mark, about what comes out of my mouth and my voice and the tones I set, that I can, as a man and as a husband and as a father, that I can be a thermostat in my home and create temperature. If I miss the mark and don't listen to some of the dirty areas in my life, that it comes out of my mouth and my home isn't right. It's not according to the picture that God has for me. And I self-correct, be like, this is the God fit. This is the language. This is the temperature. This is the voice. This is the tone that I can set. Not a right fit. There is a right fit for our love life. Purity. Boundaries around what we watch, what we look at. Boundaries around how to honor the person we're dating. That we don't just get to treat people any other way. And that God, there's dysfunction in relationships everywhere, but God has a picture, an image, a created value over our love life, our sex life, and our relationships, our romantic worlds, and that he wants to speak to us gently as the Holy Spirit and say, listen, I need you to clean house in this area. I need you to set your heart and set your mind on things above, because it's distracting, and it contaminates how we feel. And then we feel condemnation and shame. And then we can't be the right person we need to be in this relationship. Because we're neglecting worship. We're neglecting getting close to Christ. So here's the deal. Close to Christ. Close to our design. Know what is misplaced and what is out of order. That is the goal. Don't deal with sin. Get close to Christ. Somebody. Number two. Sin is always the fruit of planting into something not of God. Let me let that sink for a second. Sin is always the fruit of planting into something that is not of God. Connecting. I often ask myself, how the heck did Judas take 30 silver coins and betray the Messiah with a kiss? Like, what a moron. Does anyone else think about that? It was the voices he was listening to, the religious people, the people that wanted to crucify him, because Judas was repentant. Like, he was sorry that he did. He threw, couldn't keep the coins. And it was these voices. David, he was planting in something when he was meant to be out at battle. He was focusing, he was planting his attention on somebody else's wife. When he was planting and connecting into something, when he should have been planting and connecting into something else, just because our root system is connecting into something, it causes a result that God isn't happy with in our lives. Eve, she was talking to a talking snake. Like, when you really think about it, there is a talking snake talking to you when you could be talking to God. What are we planning into? People have influence over us. We can't be delusional and think that we can just handle business and hang out with anybody. We can't. Somebody say clean house. Colossians chapter 2 verse 8 says, see to it. This is the chapter before. See to it that no one takes you, no one, not the devil, no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depend on human tradition. Well, here's how you navigate your career. We've always done it this way. Here's how you navigate relationship with human tradition. We've always done it this way. This is how I do it. This is how you should do it. See to it that no one takes you captive. And the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. That's like the birds of the air. There is atmospheres and airs set up against us to cause places of our lives to be lost in the house. So we fall short of our potential. This hollow philosophy is deceptive because we don't think it's hollow. When you hear the advice of someone who's in church but not submitted to God, we're deceived because what they're saying sounds right. It doesn't sound hollow. And it captivates us. It causes us to make decisions. So then we make choices not set up in the submission to God, in the obedience to God, and we're confused because we think we're making the right decision because a Christian told us that. And it's deceptive because when you're deceived, we don't know we're deceived. And we think what is hollow is wholesome. I think the air conditioner's turned off at the perfect moment. And this is confusing. So the question that I would be asking if I was sitting and listening to this message right now is I would be asking, well, how do I know what voices to listen to? That is such a good question. That is a great question. In Mark chapter 3, verse 35, Jesus says in the earlier verses, he says, well, who are my brothers? Who is my mother? Who are the influences over me? Who are the influences around me? Who do I listen to? Not necessarily my own direct family, but he says this in Mark 3, 35. Whoever does the will of my, God's will is my brother, my sister, and my advisor. Whoever does God's will. So my question to you today, as we're cleaning house, it's time to clean house. Somebody say clean house. And this is the hard part about following God is you can't cause one of your friends, you can't even cause the person you're dating to choose to follow God the way you want to. You cannot make decisions for other people. And that's the hardest thing about being a pastor is I can't make anyone do anything. I wish I could. I'm a micromanager, but I would be exhausted. I can only seek God for my life and change for my own convictions before God. So are any of our influences and the people that we have surrounded our lives with, are any of them, are they doing God's will? Holy Spirit, right now, let's think about the people we're with. Let's think about the people we're dating. Let's think about those relationships that we hang out with over the weekend, throughout the summer. Are those people fearing God, hungry after God? I want to be friends with them. I want to be nice to them. I want to love my neighbor, but I want to protect myself. Because it's confusing. And sometimes these people around our lives, as loving as they intend to be, if they aren't under the light and have the light on their lives, it's like the blind leading the blind. So we're going to change results. Because we want different results. I asked you the question in the beginning, who wants to thrive? Who wants to go to the next level? Who wants that open heaven? Who wants to go breakthrough? So new roots equals new fruit. I'm just giving you scripture today. This isn't an opinion, this is the word. Colossians chapter 2 verse 6, still Colossians, says, so then, this is right after he talks about dealing with relationships. So then, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, Somebody say, continue. Continue to live your lives in Him. That means that we can begin reverent to God, but we can lose connection because we don't always continue the way we intend when we're saved. Continue to live. Turn to the neighbor next to you and say, continue to follow God. Turn to your neighbor again and say, in your mind. At the 10:30, turn to your neighbor again on the other side and say, in your heart. Turn to your neighbor because it's getting really uncomfortable behind you because they didn't think you were going to turn around. And say, continue to follow God in the secret place. And look them directly in the eye and say that nobody sees. And now pat them on the back if you can reach and say, God's good, don't worry. All right. Okay, listen. Verse 7, Colossians chapter 2. Rooted and built up. Built up is the means foundations. Rooted means roots. Built up means foundations. At the strength of our house, the strength of our lives is determined on what it's built on under the ground. That's from Ephesians. That's from the Gospels. Build your house on the rock. Strengthened in faith as you are taught, overflowing with thankfulness. As we build our lives on Jesus, it stops us from messing up and it stops us from drifting. I've been a drifter. I can drift. The currents of this world, the currents of my desires, the currents of sin, the currents of those painful places, the current of my shame, the draw of condemnation causes Sam Picken to drift. But as I submit to God and I plant in Him, it says resist the devil and submit to God. As I plant in the Word, I plant in my devotion, I make sure my root system are connected to good voices that submit to God. I'm friends with everybody. I'm friends with people who aren't submitted to God. I'm friends with people that even don't like me. I choose to forgive. I choose to be friends with people that want to say things about me, but I'm not accountable to their decision making. I'm accountable for mine. I'm accountable for mine. So I'm going to clean house today. Somebody say clean house. So have you planted yourself in healthy habits? Have you planted yourself around healthy influence and healthy friends? Not people that look good according to the world, but people that are truly God-fearing and reverent. We're going to the next level, church. Pastor's been a pastor today. Number three, sweep the house. Sweep the house. I'm going to give you some more scripture because I like it. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 to 10. Still reading in Colossians. So we just read the first four verses. Since you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things of God. Now go down to number 5. It says, put to death, clean house, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, your old self. Then it gives out a little list. Sexual immorality. Impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. And notice that all these things are internal. You can hide all these things. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. Don't worry about that because He also sent Jesus. Number 7, you used to walk in these things. So stop continuing. In the life you once lived, but now, somebody say now, you must also clean house, rid yourselves of all such things as these. And the first set of things are internal, these ones are external. Anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Notice how they're all the way we use our mouth and our tongue. And the Bible says in Luke 6, that a man is known of the goodness of the good treasure in his heart from the good things that come out of his mouth. And out of the mouth, the heart speaks. And a good indicator of knowing if there is a lost coin, lost potential in our lives is how good is our language right now. Don't lie to each other. So we're not doing that today. We're just speaking truth. Don't lie to each other 10:30. Don't pat each other on the back if it's not okay. Since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new, that's past tense. You did that when you're saved. Have put on the past tense, which has been renewed. Notice that it's not new yet, that we put on the new self that constantly needs to be renewed because we live in the current that wants to pull us away from who we are. In the knowledge, look at the picture. Someone say, look at the picture. In the knowledge of the image of its creator. So here's the thing. I'm just going to get the keys up here at the end. Somebody say, clean house. Somebody say with a smile on their face, because this is dirty work. Somebody say, clean house. You've got to sweep the house. Sometimes we say, oh, that sin's like massive. I don't do that. You know, like sexual immorality, like fornicate. Are you kidding me? Like these are massive things. Like I'm okay. And we say these things, I'm okay. So we lie to ourselves. But you can do like, you can do rage, you can do greed and sexual immorality on the way to church. Some pretty woman driving a Maserati cuts you off. You get angry at her, you wish you had her car, and you look twice. You just did it. And you are on your way to church. And then we hate ourselves. Or we think, these things are too small. It's just a lost little coin. She has 9 others. What about, who cares? This little mistake that I did on Saturday night, this little thought that I had, this thing that I focused on, what I did with my eyes. And the small things in Scripture matter to God. God says that He gets a mustard seed and turns it into a giant tree. And He'll focus and talk to us about the small things. God can be an ultimate nag. He starts to talk to us about the content we're posting on Instagram. And you play it off like, we play it off like it's nothing. But we know that we let the kind of the cleavage down like just that little bit more. We know this angle, if I lean in this way, I'll get a few extra likes. Because when I wore this dress and I let my leg out and I posted it on Instagram or my bikini on the beach, and I liked those comments. And if I was to be honest with the issues in my heart, the secret places, if I was to be honest with them, I draw from them when I should be repenting of it. You know, if we're to be honest with ourselves, God keeps talking to us about the little coin, this thing. And the coin was this headband that recognized these 10 coins was a wedding band that recognized I'm committed to something, I'm married to something. And every area of our lives needs to be committed and married to Jesus. The smallest area that's lost in the house that other people, other Christians would pass off. We at C3 Toronto will not pass these areas off. We will not say this is nothing. This is insignificant to God. We will say, Lord, light the lamp of the Holy Spirit. Light the lamp over my life. Search my life. Search my thoughts. And give me the empowerment of grace that I may follow you. That I don't want it, like not following condemnation. I'm not following shame. I'm following health and healing and restoration. God starts speaking to us as men. And He's like, you know how many times you glance back at girls down the street. You walk through the mall and you keep noticing and noticing and noticing and noticing. And He says, hey, shh, this is not a little thing. This is lost potential in you. And before it, that sin, grows roots and grows like a large tree, I'm going to sow a seed of faith. I'm going to sow a better mustard seed. I'm going to sow your real potential. We're going to sweep the house and we're going to restore this thing, and it is going to grow. And it, the purity of God, is going to grow into a flourishing marriage. The purity of heart is going to grow into a flourishing leader. That the purity of how we navigate our integrity in business is going to grow to a flourishing, God-honoring business career and business life. That we aren't going to let the little areas slide. We aren't aren't going to let those little, we are going to be God-fearing, committed, worshiping, designed by the Creator in heaven. We are going to follow after Jesus. We're going to live lives for Him. We're going to continue to do our best, and we're going to continue to repent. I feel the Holy Spirit speaking in this room right now. I believe at the 10:30 service that the Holy Spirit is moving around the room right now. He is the lamp. He is the lamp. And the Bible says in Isaiah, it says that when we repent, God writes a song and all the angels rejoice. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. That when we open up our heart and our lives to Him and surrender and say, Jesus, take stock, clean house, He sings. He sings a song of grace. He sings a song of healing. He sings a song of restoration. He sings a song of salvation. He sings a song of vision and a song of future. He sings a song of potential and a song of praise. He sings a song of His purpose. He sings a song of righteousness. He sings the song of His Savior, Jesus Christ. He sings the song of His Son. He sings the song of His Son's blood. He sings the song of purity. He sings the song of the blood of the Lamb. So we hide no more. Holy Spirit, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm not going to ask people to come to the front. I'm just going to ask you to put your spiritual ears on and pray a prayer with me under your breath. Pray this prayer with me. Say, Jesus, pray it with me right now. Say, Jesus, will you light the lamp of the Holy Spirit and show me what is lost? Show me what is dirty. Show me your plan, your strategy. Just take a moment right now with your eyes closed. Speak, Holy Spirit. Help us clean house. Help us have courage to make the right decision. Lord, we want to honor You. This summer, this is a God-fearing, reverent church. We may dress and do our hair and look like just about anyone else down the street, but our hearts are pure. Made pure in Jesus.